Hello, Charles. Thank you
Hi,
for being
Kathleen.
thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Okay, we're looking forward to your story, so please begin.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Charles Gafke. I'm the oldest of four boys. I was born on July 26, 1977, in a small town outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That makes me a very early Leo. I learned very early on that Leos can be known for their egos, which made me more conscious of mine. However, I've also learned over the years that the ego, or maybe mine in particular, can be very insidious. And there have been more times than I care to admit where mine has made itself known in an unpleasant way before I was aware of what it was up to. Sometime in my childhood, my parents discovered the teachings to the Summit Lighthouse. That makes me one of those who grew up in the teachings, which, while a blessing, comes with its own challenges. For example, I remember one time when I was a kid, we had a hidden altar in our room with pictures of Saint Germain, Jesus, and the Child of the Presence in there. One day, we forgot to hide it when my grandparents were over, and when my grandfather saw it, he more or less yelled at my dad, saying, "What are you doing? You want to go to hell?" I think that's made me tend to be secretive about my beliefs, for better or for worse. My parents told me a story once of us being at a Summit Expo. I was there as a kid, handing out flyers. Someone who ended up joining our Pittsburgh study group said she did so because she saw the light in my eyes as I handed her the flyer. Also, my mom says that at bedtime when we were young kids, she'd sit in her rocking chair saying prayers to Archangel Michael, and that I'd tell her that I'd see the blue fire flowing into the room. I have no recollection of either of these events. Very early on in my life, my dad brought home our first computer, and that's when I found one of my callings in life. My mom will tell you that I read the computer manuals from cover to cover. I taught myself to touch type when I was 10 or 11 on a typewriter. It was around then that I first started teaching myself how to program computers. When I was 16 or so, I started writing shareware utilities that were used around the world. For better or for worse, I also found computer games. Twice in my life, computer games have consumed far more years of my life than I care to admit, and twice in my life, I've sworn off them, so help me God. Gamers Anonymous, anyone? In retrospect, it could have been worse. I knew someone who said the name of a specific computer game that sucked him in was specifically mentioned in his divorce proceedings. I had a dream once where I was in a big classroom. I believe it was Mother Mary who was teaching. The only part I recall her saying was, "You have to stay away from video games." The masters aren't jesting when they talk about the danger of video games. Early in my teenage years, I pondered the question, "What is God?" The answer quickly came to me as, "God is love." I became a keeper of the flame through the Summit Lighthouse in my early 20s. I used to do a lot of decrees and have had some neat experiences. There was one time when I was fasting and invoking violet flame that I very distinctly remember feeling and hearing the violet flame around me. There was something I gave to the violet flame for consumption. I don't know what it was because it's gone. I just remember the action. When they say the violet ray consumes cause, effect, record, and memory, they aren't joking. My mother homeschooled all of us. She taught us to be self-reliant, and in my high school years, I was mostly self-taught. I wrapped up high school at 11th grade, slightly before I turned 17. My GED math scores were in the 90th percentile, and I went to a tech school called ITT to get an associate's degree in electronics engineering technology. I took to that degree like a fish to water. I was the first student in the history of their school to graduate with a 4.0. At my graduation ceremony, the dean started talking about persistence and was comparing someone in the class to Abraham Lincoln. To my surprise, at the end, he said that person was me. While in school, I worked as a computer repairman to take care of their computer field repairs. At one point while working there, I realized my pay was higher than it should have been because of a relocation that fell through. My boss explained that she knew her other employees padded their time cards and that she knew that I didn't. She felt I deserved the raise and kept it there. Honesty is indeed the best policy. After I graduated, I started searching for full-time employment. There were two things I was absolutely certain of. I did not want to work in downtown Pittsburgh, and I did not want to work for a bank. Well, the universe had other things in mind. I was recommended to someone from a large bank based in downtown Pittsburgh as a techie that her group could rely upon to solve the problems that her help desk couldn't solve. In my 21 years there, I taught myself virtually everything else I know about computer technology, including .NET, SQL, databases, servers, and lots more. I regularly heard references there about me working my magic and being a wizard. That leads me to talking about alchemy. I realized I've been practicing alchemy for quite some time and didn't even know it. Because of a rumor about me knowing everything at my prior job, and my job being tier 2 support, I got some really tough questions and problems. Long ago, I came across a secret that I'd like to share with you. When I find myself being asked a question or given a problem or find myself in an unexpected situation, I make a quick, usually silent call to my higher self. Lord, help me please, or something similar. And through me, he works miracles. Try it sometime. It wasn't that long ago that I realized that this is really alchemy, transforming something into something better through God. Shortly after starting my full-time employment, I went back to college to get my bachelor's degree, again graduating with a 4.0. As always, God was the doer. I very specifically remember one semester when I was taking 12 credits across 4 different classes. I had a different class every night, Monday through Thursday. I was so overwhelmed, I literally had no idea what I learned in the class the day before. I lived day to day, in the now, doing my assignments and working full-time during the day. Yet despite not knowing what we talked about, when it came time for the exams, out popped all the correct answers. I'm still in awe of that to this day. When I reflect upon spirituality in my life, there are a few things I'm constantly reminded of. First of all, God seems to work best when I get out of the way and just let him work. There have been times when someone asks me a question at my prior job, and I have no idea what I'm going to say, so I open my mouth and out it comes, and it's usually something very insightful. Sometimes I even see myself talking in third person. This also tends to happen without my doing when I calm myself for a bit, usually when walking. Suddenly I'll have an inspiration or a vision or an answer to a problem. Second of all, there have been endless times over the last 20 years or so when I send out the request to God as to what to do to change my life for the better, and the answer is always to meditate. Meditating is finally becoming a standard practice in my life, although there's still room for improvement. Third, my life seems to be enchanted. I explained it once to someone as me riding in a wagon with someone else at the reins. I go where I'm led, and it usually turns out to be the right thing. Fourth, a few years ago, I tried something I've never really done before. I consciously made an effort to live in the now. The results have been astounding. Time has slowed to a crawl. The last 3 years are the longest years I could ever recall experiencing. As they say, the past is gone, the future isn't here yet, and right now is a gift. That's why they call it a present. Is time going too quickly for you? Try living in the now. Lastly, I've wondered exactly how to get more connected to God. I've heard about how you're supposed to establish a permanent connection or become enlightened. Is that the same as getting out of the way and letting God do it? I think not. I believe the answer lies in meditating. There's a few mottos that I follow. If someone else can do it, I can do it too. Attitude determines altitude. It doesn't matter what happens in life, it's how you respond. And lastly, this is one of my favorites, within the last few years I've added this: find God, be God. About 17 years ago, I reflected upon my life and myself, and I wasn't happy with what I saw. Among other things, I was a pale computer geek with a partial hunch from hunching over a computer. You probably wouldn't recognize me from back then. I started making changes to my life from that point forward. I'm literally an inch taller now from straightening out my posture. I'm still a computer geek, though. One thing I realized was that I will attract to myself what I am, so I better change myself, else I may end up in a relationship with someone I don't like. One practice I put into play that I still do, although not as regularly as back then, was focus on the sun within my heart and make it glow, 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 figuring maybe, just maybe, it'll help attract the right person to me. In 2002, I decided to prove to myself that I could be an athlete, and I signed up for the MS-150, which is a 150-mile bicycle ride over 2 days from Pittsburgh to Lake Erie. I did it again in 2003 just to prove the first one wasn't a fluke. On that ride, I was almost witness to a terrible accident where a fellow rider lost control of his bicycle going down a hill and had a head-on collision with a car. I saw him spread-eagled on the ground and someone doing CPR on him. He made his transition that day. I did the big ride, as I call it, one more time in 2004, just to get back on a bicycle again and try to work through what I saw. These trips physically changed my body by significantly improving my cardiovascular system. That, believe it or not, made me better at doing decrees because my breaths can be deeper and slower. 2003, I was at a Summit Lighthouse conference at the ranch in Montana. For reasons I won't get into, I ended up being there a week before the conference started. I was invited to stay at the ranch with staff to help with preparation for the conference. I took them up on the offer, and once again, God worked his wonders. Since my plans were turned upside down, I turned to God for guidance. Every morning before I start working there, I'd say a prayer similar to, Lord, Here I am. Speak to me, and I will listen. Send me, and I will go. Here I am, Lord. Into your hands I commend my being. Try doing that sometime. You'll be amazed at what happens. The setup team I was on was led by a man named David, not our David. I loved working with David. I got the distinct impression we worked together in a past life, with him being the captain of a ship and me being part of the crew. When he gave the command, there was no questioning, just immediate obedience, because he was the captain and his commands were not given lightly. Like our higher selves? During one of the services there at the summer conference, I experimented a bit more with my son in my heart practice. I visualized it as a very large, body-sized, glowing, spinning flower, a chakra, basically. Once I had that going for a while, I looked within the center of the flower as it seemed to be brighter there than anywhere else. I was quite surprised when I saw a Buddha in a lotus posture there. I still don't quite understand the meaning of that. It was during that conference that one of the most significant events in my life occurred. About a year earlier, when I had heard that Jesus offered to place his Sacred Heart over those who performed as Jesus' vigil of the hour every week for a year, I committed to doing that. I did barely manage to complete it. I was still in that year cycle at the conference, so there I was one Wednesday evening when two young giggling ladies sat in the pew in front of me. The youth had just returned from their retreat, including my youngest brother. After the service, he introduced me to these ladies, one of which was Serena, who is now my wife of 12 years. She, being the loving person that she is, gave me a hug, even though she never met me before. Let that be a lesson to you all. Be careful who you hug. You may end up burying them. Shortly after that, I left the summit, as I did not agree with them on many things. Shortly after we were married, Serena started exploring the Heart Center. For many years, I kept a cautious distance, as I really wasn't interested in another spiritual organization. However, eventually it started to grow on me, especially the music. Serena eventually became a member of the council. By nature of my good hearing and taking care of the kids in the house during the council meetings, I end up overhearing possibly more than I should have. And again, maybe not. God works in mysterious ways. After hearing Boyd mention more than once how he requires, I started hearing the voice, as I call it, saying, "They're talking about you." This voice got louder and more persistent as time went on, and after a few months of hearing that, I surrendered to God's will. I think I really surprised Serena by asking her to tell Boyd that I'm interested in helping. Needless to say, he's taken me up on that offer, as virtually all of my spare time over the last 3 years was spent as a volunteer on assignments from Boyd. In retrospect, I'm pretty sure I was intended to be working with Boyd at least 7 years ago, but I was too distracted by other mostly meaningless things in my life to realize it. Regardless, here I am doing what I believe I'm supposed to be doing. The someone else's driving theme continues to be true here in the Heart Center. As when I expressed interest in joining staff 3 years ago, I was looking at it purely from a how can I help Boyd perspective. God and Moria apparently have other plans, as I'm now on board learning how to be the messenger's assistant, co-director of IT along with Boyd, and director of development, including being team leader of promotions and the soul-raising abundance team. This is as much of a surprise to me, if not more than to anyone else. I really did not expect that. Thank you, Moria, Boyd, Claire, and David, for having me and giving me a chance to do my part to bring in the Golden Crystal Age. I'm here to serve. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's so wonderful, Charles. So great to hear your story. And we are certainly glad you're here now working with the Heart Center. It's definitely to everyone's benefit. And I'd like to ask you a question about your meditation practice. And especially the part about you said how physical exercise helps you with your breathing, and breathing helps you with your decrees, and it sounds like it kind of all goes together. So could you kind of talk about how the physical practice of the exercise as well as the physical practice of the meditation goes together and has been such a benefit to you?
Sure. Extreme physical exercise, if it doesn't kill you, will force your body to change. And really that those big rides, as I call them, was pretty extreme. And it forced my body to change because you really have to breathe and breathe a lot. And breathing is really a important part of being able to decree properly. Because if you can't breathe, you know, you're halfway through a phrase or a stanza and you're out of breath and you got to breathe and it disrupts everyone else. So being able to breathe slowly and deeply, so you're breathing your decrees basically while visualizing them, helps a lot. And to be able to do that, you really have to be in decent physical shape. Otherwise, you just can't keep up with the really fast ones. Meditation wise, you know, when you meditate, at least for me, when I meditate, everything just starts to still and calm and slow down. And sometimes I wonder if I'm still actually breathing or not. I'm pretty sure I am, but it's definitely slower than normal. And again, if I wasn't really in decent shape, that wouldn't work so well, because I have to breathe a lot. And, you know, if you're not in shape, you're even with the slightest physical exertion. That help you any?
That does. Thank you very much. To help to inspire me and to help inspire those who are listening, because sometimes maybe that's not exactly what we would like to do. And at the same time, I've heard the masters many times talk about the benefits of breathing. So
this... Yes, and exercise. And I mean, everyone really should get more exercise, myself included.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Charles. It looks like our time is done now for the moment. And so grateful for you being here and jumping right in. And so wonderful for Serena to have sort of been that catalyst. So it's wonderful.
Yes, it's worked out well. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.